Our dear Holy Father, as we, thy children, come before thee this night, giving thee thanks for all of our blessings and for our very lives, and thanking, dear Heavenly Father, for this beautiful gospel that thou hast given unto us, and for calling us out of the world, for touching us with thy Holy Spirit, and causing that hunger within our hearts to more fully know thee, to be drawn to thee. Oh, our precious Heavenly Father, there is not enough time in our lifetime to ever repay thee, for we continually are in debt unto thee. But we know, our Heavenly Father, that if we would give you our service and our love and our dedication, that would be payment sufficient. And as we come here this day to learn and to study and to understand thy word and to hear thy word preached by thy servant this night, that we might be edified within our hearts and our minds, that we might receive a greater understanding, that we might receive from thee, dear Heavenly Father, the message of the hour, that thou would touch our brother Bill, and that thou would give him liberty of speech and of mind and of thought, that thou would form within him those things which thou would see fit that we might stand in need of, for thy children continually stand in need to be spiritually fed, that we might become stronger in thy ways, and that we might know where thou would have us to walk and in what manner. Thou knowest our shortcomings and thou knowest our strengths, so thou knowest where we must be fed. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, as well for the other locals and other people who are meeting this night to hear thy word and to be spiritually fed and strengthened as well, that there would be an outpouring of thy spirit upon them, each and every one, as well as we. That thou would touch the hearts and the minds of the children of men, that all would hunger and thirst for the knowledge of the gospel and to be drawn unto thee. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for those who have needs physically, mentally, and spiritually, that thou would bless each and every one accordingly to those needs. Be with those who are sick and afflicted and troubled. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, as well, for the work of the gospel and for the missionary effort, for those poor brothers and sisters in the Yucatan who have suffered much. And I pray that thou would see to their needs as well as the poor and hungry nations of the world. And for the poor of this nation as well, for there are many upon the streets. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the troubled souls and for the children who have gone astray and for the many who are scattered abroad this nation, whether they have been runaways or captives or what their conditions are that have brought them to the troubles. But there are many, there are millions, dear Heavenly Father, who stand to be brought back to their families and into society. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, as well, that thy church would grow in strength and in numbers throughout the world. For it is the desire of our hearts that we would live so long to see this Church of Christ upon all the face of the land. And I pray now, dear Heavenly Father, as we prepare to hear thy word, that we will be spiritually in tune with our brother. And I ask you to pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Really enjoyed the message that was brought to us this morning from our brother Tom, who talked to us about Job and how he didn't yield to sin and give in to the weaknesses that some of his friends had given in to. And some of the scriptures that he used to show us that there are times when trials and temptations and the trying of our faith is given to us for the perfection of patience. Now, I don't know, but I'm sure there's probably a few others out there besides myself who sometimes that trying of your faith, I find, works anger in my life instead of patience. I just don't quite stack up to being the kind of person that I know that I need to be, and that these scriptures that we have tell us that we need to be. Sometimes I find that tribulation worketh anger. You know, and I can justify to myself all kinds of reasons why, well, I'm justified in anger because I'm correct and I'm right, and I know that I have every right to be upset and angry with that person that just cut me off while driving down the road. I had the right of way, so I'm justified in it. Or somebody tried to cheat me, and I'm justified in being upset and angry with them. But that's man's reasoning, and you know, we can justify just about anything that we make up our mind to try to justify. And we could probably even take scriptures out of context and prove just about anything that we want to prove one direction or another if we take things out of context. I'd like to begin reading in the 5th chapter of Matthew. I'd like to begin in the 21st verse. You have heard that it was said by them of old, "Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment." But we don't have too many problems with that one. Verse 22, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment." I'd like to stop there for a second. First of all, when I read that, I read something that appears to me that it doesn't quite fit into the total plan and the total picture that God has given us throughout all these scriptures and the teachings that Jesus has given to us. You know, I look at that and those words are in red in my Bible. And that means that that's something that was a direct quote from Christ. Or is it? You know, I wonder, there is a possibility that we know that these scriptures that we have in the Bible are scriptures that were translated from other languages. And I thought, well, maybe there was something added or lost there in that interpretation to where these writings just kind of got deciphered just a little bit different than what Christ really meant. Because when I read in there without a cause, I have trouble with that. And you can read this in the Book of Mormon, in third Nephi, fifth chapter, and that's on page 637, I believe. Yeah, in verse 70, when we read what Christ said to the people that were on this continent, on the those who were left after the terrible destruction, the wording is just a little bit different. The words "without a cause" are left out of there. And so because of that, I have to assume that the words that did not have to be taken from one language and put into another language by man, because these words were words that were interpreted through the power of the Holy Ghost, then I have to assume that the Book of Mormon in this case is a little more correct. So we have a little bit more understanding of what the rest of the world has because of the Book of Mormon and the way that it's worded there. And we look at those words "without a cause," and I don't have any problem leaving those out. And it really makes more sense to me because it goes along with the whole picture that is trying to be taught to us throughout all of the scriptures in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Because I don't see anywhere else in the scriptures where it shows that if you're justified in being angry, I mean, any scriptures where it does justify being angry. It's addressed many, many times, and it just is not put that way without a cause. Now, lots of times we go through this life justifying some of those things that we do that maybe we could go back to this scripture in Matthew and we can say, well, those are words of Christ and that's how I'm going to justify it. But we also read earlier in the Book of Mormon where it talks about, I believe it's in 1 Nephi, 3rd chapter somewhere, that it talks about how there are many plain and precious things taken out of the Bible. And perhaps this is one of those areas where it isn't as plain as it should be and as we would like it to be. But the scripture in 3rd Nephi, with Christ speaking, does make it much plainer. But then he goes on to say, "And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Now, I personally haven't said Raca to anybody that I can recall recently. But I think it goes a little bit farther than that, too. You know, you look up in the dictionary, or in my Bible, it has a little brief explanation of that word. And saying "raca" to somebody in the dictionary is an Aramaic term meaning worthless, or it's an expression of contempt or empty. It's overall, it's just an abusive statement. Now, in the dictionary, when you say "raca," it doesn't have a synonym of idiot or jerk or somebody like that. But I believe that there are many instances where the scriptures are speaking to us And rather than being very specific about saying just certain exact things, it's speaking to us in general terms. And I believe this is one of those times when God is speaking to us in general terms. Now, when it speaks of shall be in danger of the council, I interpret that to mean shall be in danger of the authority. And in this case, I would deem that to mean that it would be the supreme authority in this case. Our God is the person that we have to answer to. We don't really have to answer to anybody in this world other than you might get yourself in a lawsuit, some of the things that you say to some people. But as far as our spiritual welfare, the counsel that I believe that is spoken about here is the authority is God. And the same thing applies to the last part of that paragraph where it says, thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Again, perhaps we don't use that exact word, calling somebody a fool. But do you really see that significant a difference of referring to somebody just as a name that maybe to you doesn't seem that bad when you call somebody a jerk? You know, I do it all the time. But I thought about that just over this last couple of weeks. And I've thought pretty serious about it. Because I've thrown that word around quite a bit. And perhaps some of you have too, or other words that are words that you use a little more often that are descriptive, that are similar to that. Maybe not the exact same words. And again, we justify it by thinking to ourselves, well, it's correct. I am speaking something that is the truth. But believe me, there's a lot of things that would be true about any one of us that we certainly don't want made known. There are things that are true about us that might be damaging. So when we think of our situations that we are confronted with that put us in this same thinking here when it says, whosoever is angry with his brother. Not necessarily angry with a brother or a sister in here, but from time to time, it's very easy for us to be angry with somebody somewhere. And I got to thinking about this, and it really struck home about how we can be thinking these things or saying these things and be in danger of hellfire. And that's kind of scary. It's one of those things that to me, I've seen it and I've read it and I've heard it. But it really, when I thought about it, it really started to sink in a little bit. Maybe I'm a little bit slower to understand some of these things, but it started scaring me. And I hope if any of you are in the same category or can picture what I'm talking about, that maybe you can be a little more patient. Gosh, it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. But it's something that is a commandment to us. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment that has been given to us. As Tom brought out in those scriptures in James and in Romans, that when we have these trials and these temptations, that that is supposed to strengthen our patience and make better Christians out of us. It isn't stuff that's thrown at us to punish us. Those situations are for strengthening us. I'd like to read now in Luke, the 10th chapter. Starting with the 25th verse. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And if we go on, we read the story about the Good Samaritan. I believe we're all familiar with it. And in verse 37, at the end of that story, after this Good Samaritan had taken care of this individual who was his neighbor, not a neighbor that he knew, but it was just a fellow human being. And he said, He that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. So we have that task before us of doing likewise as the Good Samaritan did. You know, say you find yourself in that position like I did. We think to ourselves, okay, what now? I yielded. I gave in to my weakness. I didn't do what I said I was supposed to do. You know, you've recognized that you've committed sin. I'd like to read a little bit in 3rd Nephi in the 5th chapter. Back, let's see, it's in verse 102. Page 639. This is the Lord's Prayer. And it's another admonition to us. And reading specifically here, again, I see a little bit of difference from the Lord's Prayer in the 6th chapter of Matthew. There are a few parts in the 6th chapter of Matthew that are not in the Book of Mormon. But the pertinent part that is in the Book of Mormon are the things that I want to bring out. In particularly, I'd like to read, and starting in verse 102, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's the portion, again, that I want to bring out to each one of us, and I want it to really strike home. We have a two-way obligation. One is to forgive those who might have aught against us, and to forgive our debtors. those that our debts are someone that we might have aught against, and our debtors, someone that might have aught against us. And it's a two-way street. It's something that to do one without the other is still not being in complete compliance with the laws that have been given to us, the commandments that have been given to us. You know, I can say that I forgive somebody, but every time something comes up that reminds me of a particular situation that I was upset with them for in the first place, I wonder and I think to myself, have I really forgiven them? And I guess that's something that you have to work out between yourself and with the Lord. To really have forgiven somebody. Is something that sometimes you might not be able to do it by yourself. Sometimes you might need the help of the Lord to work within your life to give you the humility and the concern and the true love for another individual that you really need to have, not just for a brother and sister sitting here, but for all mankind. Sometimes we fall a little bit short in that. But one of the things that I really enjoy reading and I love to read is the last part of that Lord's Prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now in the next verse, in verse 107 in the Book of Mormon, it says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, it doesn't make it optional. It's not something that is our choice to do as far as keeping all of the commandments and all the rules and regulations that have been given to us. Forgiveness is something that we need and something that we need to give. Again, a two-way street. You know, it's easy to kid ourselves sometimes, but it's kind of difficult to think we're going to put one over on the Lord. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, I'd like to read one verse, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven men. Now, what I want to emphasize is just the first part of that. I'm not going to get into the unforgivable sin here. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. There's nothing short of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost that you and I can do that can't be forgiven to us if we are truly penitent and sorry for what we've done. Not sorry that we got caught, but sorry in our hearts and humbly and sincerely that we committed this particular sin. Whatever it is, forgiveness is something that is free just for the asking. And I don't find any place in the Scriptures where it tells me you have to continue praying for this forgiveness for a certain thing. I believe all you need to do is ask once for forgiveness for a particular sin and it's forgiven. If you ask with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, when you're sincere and you're humble about it, God hears you. He hears every one of your prayers, even when you pray time and time and time again for stronger faith or for continued blessings. When you ask for forgiveness for something, if you're serious about it and sincere about it, that forgiveness is yours and it's free and it's there for the asking. I'd like to ask each of you, well, first of all, I want to read one more scripture in 3 Nephi, in verse 66. It says, "And behold, I have given you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore come unto me, and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." It doesn't say, except ye keep some of my commandments. It says, except ye keep my commandments, which are all of the commandments that he's given to us. You know, I'm sure that each of us have, when we first were introduced to the gospel, and first started really understanding it, we probably started recognizing things in our lives that needed correction. And we started working on them. And one by one, we started overcoming. And it was a good feeling. And we knew that we were on the road to becoming closer to being the kind of person that we had recognized that we need to be. And you go along, and perhaps there's, you're just about there, but there's one little area in your life. And for each one of us, it's probably something different. But there's one little area that you're really having trouble overcoming. But it's something that we must overcome, whatever it is. Different things for different people. But we have to overcome those. We overcome them with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and a reliance on God, recognizing that there are things that we just don't have in our own human abilities to overcome by ourselves. Now what I'd like to do is a little bit out of the ordinary, but I'd like, if you would, I'd like you to comply. Close your books. And each one of you, Put aside all of your thoughts other than the things that I'm going to speak to you right now. I'd like each of you to bow your head and close your eyes and look within your heart. And ask God to show you the sins and the shortcomings that might be in each of our lives. Reveal our weaknesses to each one of us, those little things that might be the last major obstacle that we have to overcome. And pray that we might have His Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and help us to overcome those little hang-ups that we have, those little sins, those big sins. I hope that each one of us this evening have allowed God to come within our hearts and our lives and to help us recognize the weaknesses that we have. In verse 92 in the third chapter of Nephi, it says, I would that ye should be perfect, even as I or your Father who is in heaven is perfect. You know, if each of us asked God in these last few minutes for the forgiveness that is free and that He is ready and willing to give to each of us, we can now stand right this minute with all of our sins forgiven, and we can be as close to being perfect as we ever could in our own humanness, accepting that forgiveness that God has for us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Brother Bill.